It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of the unseen realm. Now, you know, I guess I would kind of consider myself a bit of an expert when it comes to things unseen. But we're not talking, you know, with just your everyday eyesight in this occasion. We're talking things maybe more... Are there other planes of existence that maybe we don't consider or even acknowledge for that matter? You know, it might just be, you know, nonsensical to some, but in some ways, is there much more to actually what is unseen? Jeff?
When, well, you can't say you see this, but I'm looking outside your window and I'm watching the tree move. Something's making those branches move. What do you think it is?
Probably the wind. The wind, right?
But you can't see the wind. But you know it's there. You can feel the wind. And I think that's a great way to think about this, is that there are forces at work in our world that we do not see, but we absolutely do experience.
Because although we may not see them, they are most certainly making things move.
Absolutely. There's an influence that you would be a fool not to acknowledge. In fact, you'll suffer if you don't. And I think the same could be said for what you're talking about, this unseen realm, specifically the realm of good and evil. There is two forces, polarized forces at work. Of course, as believers, we know who those are. But for those who are coming around to this understanding, there are two forces at work. And I guess to some degree, we've all not only have to acknowledge it exists, but which side are you going to pick?
So metaphorically speaking, then, we're almost a piece of metal between two magnets. We have one, you know, maybe pulling towards the north and one pulling towards the south. More of a, who says that? The Illuminati, that as above, so below.
As above, so below. You have the copies of things in heaven. You know, have you ever experienced discouragement? You're going through your life. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month or a year or longer, you know, but you're sitting there and you're just down. You know, there's that, we all do it to some degree, a self-talk. And we can be our biggest critic or our biggest encouragement.
And you know, too, I feel like we do not give enough respect to the power that words really have. And God does tell us, but the Bible tells us that the tongue is a powerful weapon, right?
Yes. It has the ability to give life and death. Yeah. Yeah.
And you think about how many people who are down and depressed and discouraged every day speak negative curses over themselves. Whether it be, I'm not good enough, this is another failure, I weigh too much,
I don't matter,
nobody cares about me, my job's terrible,
I don't have enough friends, yeah.
But they speak curses over themselves every waking moment of every waking day, and then at the same time wonder, why do I feel the way I do?
It's almost like, well, you're killing yourself.
Yes.
Slowly killing yourself.
You're using that tongue as a deadly weapon.
Right. But the difference is you're speaking it over yourself. In other words, if somebody else were to come and say these things to you again, you would never tolerate it. But because it's you, You have no shield, no filter, no, at least you should, but you don't. And you're allowing yourself to have these horrific thoughts about yourself that aren't even true.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one thing to be critical of yourself. I think that's an absolute must, that we are critical. We realize the area. You know what? I could be better here. I fell short here.
Be honest, right?
Yes.
Be honest with yourself.
That's a good word. Hey, be honest.
Be honest.
But at the same time,
don't destroy yourself.
Exactly. Don't speak curses over your own life.
Hey, and don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that you're amazing and that you're perfect.
There you go.
Right? Don't go the other way either. Yep. Be honest. Just be honest. But you know, in that, it's almost like sometimes there's something else at work in that. And I experience it in my life where, you know, I'm a preacher and kind of notice this pattern. I'm about to preach a message and I get discouraged. Even before I get up in the pulpit, I'm just like, oh. No one cares. No one wants to hear this. My illustrations are dumb. This doesn't even matter.
This isn't going to touch anybody's
right.
heart.
It's not going to help anybody. It's not going to make an impact. It's not going to make a difference. And I'm already trying to talk myself out of
doing it,
proclaiming what God gave me. And what's wild, and it's taken me, you know, many years to figure this out, those end up being some of the most impactful messages I ever preach. People afterwards come and say, that was amazing. That was for me. Thank you. You have no idea. I was wrestling with this issue, and thank you for having the courage to say it.
Mm.
It was like somebody was trying to convince me, to silence me, to mute myself.
That unseen force said, it turns out there actually are some people here that may need to hear that. So turn that down.
And listen, I'm not saying that I don't sometimes myself have the wrong way of thinking and do the self-talk and criticize myself, but it's almost like there's somebody else there trying to encourage that negative self-talk and get me in those cycles to discourage me from doing what God called me here to do.
If on the basis you believe there is a God, you would therefore have to believe, if he can work in the unseen, right, that
there just has to be a counterpart.
His counterpart would probably have a vested interest in doing the same to prevent you from carrying out his work.
It's so wild when you look in the Bible. There are actual pictures where you see, like in Job, the devil is at work behind the scenes. And Job, we never have any indication that Job's aware of this, but the devil goes in and takes his wealth, kills his kids. I mean, makes him sick, causes disease. We're never told that Job ever saw this or understood this. Again, it was working in the unseen realm. Judas, it says that when he betrayed Jesus, it says that Satan entered him. Like,
so he's full-blown possessed.
Yeah, he didn't even know it. There was no indication that Judas ever understood that there was something else at work in his life using him.
And think about the devil being created with all of the gifts that, I mean, he was literally known as the morning star, right?
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be an angel of light, like of true, genuine light. He has all of these musical capabilities.
Anointed cherub. He was there before God, the amazing throne of God. He was there, man, like had a special access.
And still thought, I deserve more.
Well, what it was, he didn't want to serve God. He wanted to be God.
Mm.
And again, all this happened in the unseen realm. And there was this war and he was cast down. And now he is down here. If you, again, believe what the Bible says, and I do. He not only is at war with God, he's at war with all who serve him.
Yeah, I don't know.
It does make you go, because there, the more you learn and the more you become aware of things, you're going, there's something going on that's moving stuff that our current construct and education system is not explaining, but I'm clearly seeing the tree move.
The something is not as we are described that it is.
Yeah, the something is not nothing. It is something. stop pretending. I mean, you know, and I don't want to be a pawn on this table.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And okay, God, help give me the eyes. Help me see what I'm clearly missing here. And also help me not be so discouraged as I'm doing your will. Does that make sense? It's hard. It's hard though. Yeah, I faced that Sunday morning. I was sitting there. I was just, after I left church, I was so defeated. The beauty of this is I can talk to Melanie about this. Like, she's my confidant. You know, she's...
understands.
Not just understands. We both experience it, but she's in my corner.
Yeah.
And she's a person who will speak to me honestly. Like, okay, Jeff, yeah, you blew it on this. Like, you're a failure here. You know, and give me some truth and either validate what...
Why you're feeling the way you're feeling, or like, no, I think it was really good. I think there's just something else going on here.
Right, like you are under attack.
I think we fail to realize that the devil is going to attack you in your points of weakness. Like for me, he always makes me feel irritable and angry, like, because those are things that I have a short temper and I have a short fuse. So I think that each person is different in the way that you may see yourself be attacked.
How it manifests.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we've got to get back to is to re-remember the devil. He's a real created entity. He's a being that is certainly opposed to the will of God and to those who will inherit salvation and who are seeking to live out God's will. So he's not just at war with God, he's at war with you.
knowing that we're born sinful, like, aren't we born with him kind of in a direct connection to our ego?
I don't have any biblical authority of text that I can cite for that, but somehow, because of the way God designed them off, I can turn on my light at night and it will be drawn to the light. I don't know what it senses about that light, but it wants to go to it. It's why those bug zappers work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lures them in and zaps
them. To their death, right? In the same way, there are...
The devil can turn the light on to our ego and right. draw us right in with our vices to get zapped.
A false light. But he whatever that is, he knows how to utilize it to accomplish or to seek to accomplish his end game.
In your ego, just you personally, do you desire anything good?
Okay, ego. What is ego? Define ego. Ego is...
For me, ego is like the parts of your personality that I think are just kind of described maybe metaphorically as low frequency or maybe the darker side of who we could be potentially. I think it's selfishness, it's arrogance, it's pride, it's deceit, it's doing whatever we must do to accomplish whatever it is that you know, we set our sights on. I was listening to a sportscaster last night, a guy I used to listen to quite a bit back in the day. And he said, when I got into this business, I wanted it so badly, I was willing to step on people to get there. And that 10 years ago wouldn't have rang the same to me as it rang when I heard it yesterday.
Okay.
Because I thought, you know what, man? There's probably something I wanted so bad that I would probably step on people to get it too. But now I think of, dude, you're literally willing to destroy someone else to have what you want.
It's that voice inside you in every situation that says, what's in it for me?
Exactly. Yeah, what's the Holy Spirit? The exact opposite. Right. The Holy Spirit is, how may you grow the kingdom of God? How may you serve others and as a result be gratified in yourself?
Yeah, I think ego is probably what... Satan, Lucifer, listened to it when he rebelled against God. Mm-hmm. When he first said, I can take him, I can mm-hmm. rise above and we'll get the hosts of angels and we'll just, you know, have a war. You know, he convinced himself to run over whatever he had to try and accomplish that end.
How often do we convince ourselves, I don't need anybody, I can do this all on my own.
Right.
And then only to be sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
And I think a scarier thing is that we're in a time of... whether people see it this way or not, they should come to realize that all of the people that they follow and idolize in society, they do believe in this stuff. So even if you think it's all, you know, malarkey, oh, this is crazy, you know, this is nonsensical, all of these people that you idolize believe wholeheartedly in it. So I think you'd be wise to come to realize the directions in which they're ultimately leading you. I mean, there's a rapper whose name is Lil Uzi Fur. So slow that down. It sounds like Lil Lucifer. Oh, yeah, I don't know. You know, but he did say at one of his concerts, it's on video, he said, you're all coming to hell with me.
Oh, gosh.
I just told the whole crowd that. They're, oh, yeah. You think he was kidding? Mm. Or maybe there was a little more there. All of these people and the symbolism they do, the allegiances they pledge... if they didn't take it seriously, why would they do it? For what purpose would it serve them? Hey guys, let's all get together, make a bunch of funny symbols over our eyes, talk about how there's blood sacrifice, and just for fun.
I mean, they're doing ceremonies. I mean,
yes.
For what? Is it for show?
They do ritual.
Yeah. What?
You have Tom Brady comes out and says how his wife told him at the beginning of years that he was going to win Super Bowls. He said that she would make him an altar of his kids and some. I have a couple of other pictures and whatnot that he could take, put in his locker during the season. And then at the end says how she's a witch.
Mm.
What does it? It is real, man. It's right in front of your face. The scary thing is we just dismiss over it or we laugh it off like, oh yeah, that's funny. It's real.
Yeah, the cartoon with the devil on your shoulder and the angel on the other, that metaphor, that cartoon, that's not real, but there is that struggle within us all
yes.
of the good and evil. We're all at some point giving into what will either build or destroy, what will take us further in progress for goodness or deeper into, well, what's
low
that guy's
vibration, low frequency,
evil, to hell, you know.
But if you think about even witchcraft, a real witch, you would never know they are a witch. Now, once again, you may think it's all nonsensical, but you would be wise to understand the people that you idolize wholeheartedly believe in it. And with the authorities and seemingly mysticism or magic that they hold over people, wouldn't you kind of start to wonder if maybe there is something to it? How they're able to capture the attention of so many people and mesmerize them? Is there such a thing as maybe some dark magic?
Yeah, the scary ones who are actually doing the wicked things that you think of, like with child sacrifice and monstrous evils where they're swaying entire nations, so to speak, they're not advertising, hey, join us for the the YouTube special where we're going to ask Lucifer to help guide us to destroy, you know, this city or this nation, or to lead us away from Jesus or whatever.
Or you even have Zena LaVey, which I think her last name's different now. I think she's been married. But her father, Anton LaVey, was the founder of the church, the modern day Church of Satan. And she has an interview where she states back in the 90s that we absolutely make music for a purpose. There is a purpose behind it. I don't remember if it's her dad that's in the interview. It may be her husband is also in the interview at the time. They chime in and they say, so much so that in some cases you can be actively partaking in a ritual just by listening to it.
Right.
Now, what does that mean? I don't know. But here's the people who founded this church telling you that.
Well, I mean, on the flip side of that, isn't that what you're doing in a church service? You're, even though you're not the one up there leading the worship or even the one preaching the message, you're still, just by you being there, you're participating.
Sure.
You're a worshiper in that building.
Sure.
Right?
I guess that's a fair point when you put it like that. Like by default, by you listening, you are partaking in the worship of something that you may otherwise have absolutely no interest in doing so.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a child nursery song that, you know, many parents sing, you know, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Have you heard that song?
No.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it goes into your ears, to your mouth, what you say. Yeah, it's like your feet, where they go, your hands, what they do. Realizing you're not just an NPC, that you're actually taking part, whether you're the one leading it or driving the getaway car.
You're still the same part, aren't
you? Yeah, so how about this? You know, I saw a guy walking down the road, and there was a police chase. I guess the guy, the criminal crashed his car.
Got out flat on foot.
He got out on foot, and he was running by the other guy, the NPC, so to speak, sitting there just watching all this happen. And as the criminal runs by, he puts out his foot and trips the criminal. And so the cop thanks him, and he busts him, and he arrests him. But if he hadn't done that, would he be actually enabling evil to run by and get away?
I mean, in some regard,
right?
if you're paying full attention to what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
He made a conscious choice in that moment. And I get it. Most people wouldn't do that because we don't think this way. Mm-hmm. We don't think that I don't have to be the one actually leading and intending to do evil or good. Just by me being there, I'm a participant.
Yep.
And whatever outcome it is.
Well, and that's the thing, is how often do you go into something unknowingly and unwillingly being a participant? You had no idea.
Unwittingly, right?
Yeah.
It's like you were naive and clueless.
I thought I was going to a concert.
Right.
And then it turns out service. I went to something. But you see frequently, and they supposedly explain this away with science. I don't know. I'm just pointing it out. People that are going to these Taylor Swift concerts, they leave and they have no recollection of what they just watched. Like it never even happened. There's videos all over the internet.
Yeah, I think I saw that in the news.
They call it, it's so much of a like a frequent event that they call it Taylor amnesia. What does that mean? I've never been somewhere that I was like, I'm going to go to this concert, I'm going to enjoy it, and then left and been like, what happened to that?
Well, but to be fair, you wouldn't know because you wouldn't remember, right?
I guess that's... But I think, though, that the people remember going to the concert.
Right, right. But no, yeah, that's, it's almost like they're in a trance.
Yeah, almost, maybe. Mm.
There's that man behind the curtain, mm-hmm. but it's not a man. It's an entity. Mm-hmm. And what you got to realize, he's real. And he has intentions. He has goals. He has plans for you. You can accidentally go along and be taken and be a part of something you want nothing to do with.
Speaking for myself here, I know that's, I guess as I've become more aware to this, it's also very hard to separate from things that you once didn't see that way. So, you know, once again, to me, it might have just, oh, I just kind of like the beat of this music, or I like sports a lot. But it's reached its hand into every aspect of society. And it's just very tough to kind of pull yourself back sometimes and be like, ah, oh, I got to give that up. I got to give that up.
Because you don't want to be taken. You don't want to be pulled in. You don't want to be a part of something that's evil.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Whereas in the past, you didn't see it, but now you're like,
I can't knowingly be a part of something that I know I don't want to be a part of.
Right. Gosh, man, that's so far-reaching, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
These individuals who are leading people, these influencers, leading people to do the things, the evil things that they're doing, whether they know it or not, even they can be oblivious as they're being used by evil.
Well, to them, it might just be presented as, do this, we'll cut you another check. Okay,
right,
great.
Right. It's my livelihood or whatever. Just thinking I'm just earning a buck, not knowing that you're actually, what was that rapper's name? You're literally leading people.
To hell.
To hell.
I mean, he's doing it on purpose. He openly says so. But yeah, I think there's plenty of people who...
Yeah, that wasn't a metaphor.
Yeah, but I think there are plenty of people who are just doing that evil for a payday. And yeah. I mean... Ultimately, even if you look back on history, even the good Germans were just doing their jobs, right?
Just following orders.
Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't turn out so well. Probably best that maybe we take a stand on things when we know they're wrong.
Gosh, isn't that scary? I think you're seeing that today with law enforcement. You know, and I love law enforcement. I love law and order, but there's some things they're being asked to do sometimes that are a violation of the oath of office they took. You get the same thing with politicians.
But you could take every single system, anyone you want to talk, law enforcement.
Medical
establishment, education establishment.
Ministers.
Ministry establishment, law establishment. They were all set up and orchestrated to be corrupted. And now you can see that they all have been.
Why do you think they were set up to be corrupted? Why do you explain that?
I mean, I've said this before, but I think it's the system of the beast, man. This is his system. It's his... He is the prince of the world. It's his system, his world. It all mimics God's natural order, heavenly domain. It's all just re-implicated here with a twist.
As above, so below. So he's copying the things of heaven.
Yes, he mimics them, but then twists them to be used for evil.
And so we think it's good because it's a copy of heaven, but in the end, he's using it to build his own empire here on earth.
Correct. And then we have people who... are so arrogant that they believe nothing exists beyond themselves, or B, people who are so self-righteous that they believe, well, I'm so good and glorious, the devil would never trick me. And he already had you.
Right. He has both of them. Yeah, because exactly. the guy who believes in nothing in the end wants to be
ends
God.
Up with him.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's fallen to the very same thing that Lucifer first did, is he's trying to appoint himself to be God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't acknowledge God, I become God. And the other person who says, I'm just so amazing, you know, my poo don't stink. That same person thinks they're so amazing, they can't acknowledge the wrong.
Correct. They never take accountability for
anything,
what it is that they do.
Yeah.
And they're in the same boat and they don't even realize it. One of my favorite quotes is, one of the greatest things the devil's ever done is convince people that he doesn't exist.
Well, in a military standpoint, you know, if you got two opposing armies, what advantage would an army have if they could convince the other army they didn't exist?
They'd take them right over.
There'd never be a fight, right?
Exactly. They'd be subdued before it ever started.
Right, right. And that's exactly what he's done.
Mm-hmm. You've been compromised and subdued before you even got in the metaphoric boxing ring.
What would be the... one thing you'd want to convey to our listeners regarding this matter of the unseen realm that is waging war in our physical reality?
I kind of, when I came to the conclusion of like, man, there's just some dark, wicked evil out there that that's what told me there, this has all got to be for a reason. There's a God. There's more to this than just pure wickedness. And if there's this much evil, there's got to be even more good.
How about this? For those who will accept that this is happening, maybe one of the things that we could all walk away with is make your mind up to not be the criminal being tripped, but being the good guy who is tripping the criminal. But it's not a criminal, it's the devil himself.
Mm.
So stop letting him trip you and start being the one who's tripping him.
Flip the roles.
There you go.
Yeah. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.